Coming up on today's show, we're going to speak to the fired Fox News commentator. Yes, he was canceled because he's a black man that dared to leave the plantation and think for himself. Kevin Jackson will join us, as well as Patrick Hawley. He wants to question whether or not women should be cops in the wake of the accidental shooting, it appears, of the violent thug with an extremely long criminal history here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, specifically in Brooklyn Center. Dante Wright is dead at the hands of the female officer that has now been identified. In addition to that, we will have Sheriff David Clark on. He's going to weigh in on the lack of response by Republicans in his state and around the country, and we'll ask him to opine on the officer-involved shooting that took place here in the state of Minnesota. But first, we want to thank our sponsor and introduce you to Carlos Cortez at Cortez Wealth Management. You can always give him a call at 813-448-3446 or visit him online at CortezWM.com, home of the America First Retirement Plan. Cortez, welcome back.
Hey, Stu, thanks for having me.
Of course, it's always a pleasure to have you. The market is going up, up, up. And what else are you seeing today?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because this whole vaccine, I'm sick of people taking selfies of the vaccine. They don't even know what they're injecting themselves
with. It's virtue signaling. That's what it is. I'm taking a picture with my vaccine, so you got to go get yours now. It's stupid. It's silly. I've even heard pundits on national news networks calling for, like, the Fox News people. Why aren't some of these big celebrities over at Fox News getting theirs live on TV? What? I mean, really? Yeah. Do I have to do this live on television in order for you? I mean, what do I do? Do I wake up every morning and say, well, I better turn on Fox News and Fox and Friends and see if Brian Kilmeade got his vaccine, because that'll tell me whether or not I should get mine?
You know, if we grew up drinking from a garden hose, playing as kids or playing football, when mom used the same hose using Miracle-Gro,
right? Yes,
and
I
we
know
survived.
It. So Johnson & Johnson, okay. the vaccine has been banned now here, at least temporarily. More of this is to come now. Blood clots are happening. I think 16 states originally said no. Now the entire United States is shut down. What is their stock doing today?
Yeah, that's a great, great thing that you mentioned, that great point. I was just listening to some of the quote-unquote experts, and usually when we have a detrimental news that JJ or Johnson & Johnson is being paused, the stock has a crazy sell-off reaction, typically, historically, whenever there's a massive news break. The stock is being suppressed at just the stock right now is down 2.5%.
2.5%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing.
So we have Wall Street manipulating the curb appeal of Johnson & Johnson. We got to keep them. Yeah. We got to keep their reputation looking good. So we don't want to plummet this thing. We're not going to sell off a bunch of this. So advisors. So this is what this does now. So advisors are now advising against the sell off of Johnson & Johnson stuff because they're in the tank for Wall Street, who's in the tank for the establishment, which then basically means that your advisor, whether you know it or not, is a pro Biden advisor. This is what we're talking about, manipulation.
Pro Bilderberg, I would say, too.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You can't have that. You got to have an independent fiduciary who loves this country. That's why you go to Cortez Wealth Management, home of the America First Retirement Plan. There's the phone number right there at the bottom of the screen, folks, 813-448-3446. And you can see right there, nice and pretty, CortezWM.com. Anywhere that you are in the United States of America, you can do business with Cortez Wealth Management. He'll take care of you. Not just a number. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Patriotically Correct starts right now. Well, with stories about election disputes, alleged fraud, the lack of transparency in our process, the silencing of conservatives, pro-police, people of faith, the full assault on the First Amendment, and now the legitimate plan to come for law-abiding gun owners in an attempt to alter, change, or completely abolish the right to keep and bear arms, the majority of us are growing incredibly concerned. I feel that concern. I empathetically share it with you. Former Sheriff David Clark is the president of America Sheriff, a board member at the Crime Research Center, and author of the book Cop Under Fire, Beyond Hashtags of Race, Crime, and Politics for a Better America. He joins us now. Sheriff, thanks a lot for being here. We always appreciate hearing from you.
It's my pleasure. Thanks.
Can find the sheriff on Parler, by the way, at Sheriff Clark. You penned an opinion piece the other day and urged Republicans to go big or go home. That was your quote. It appears that you're feeling a sense of urgency, and you recognize the importance of the upcoming elections, particularly in Wisconsin. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I have always had a sense of urgency about this stuff, but apparently the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and I think you can apply this to the Republican Party nationwide. I'm talking about the elected officials when I say the party, not the voters. They don't seem to get it. They seem to be sleepwalking through this assault on America, on our values, our Constitution, our individual rights. basically that piece, people can go to gmtoday.com to read the whole thing, and I encourage them to do that. Look, if we're going to win America back, we're going to have to do it in the states. State by state, you see a lot of good things going on. You see things going on like, for instance, in Arizona, where they passed a law and it was signed by the governor that they are not going to comply with any federally mandated gun control measures. Arkansas, the state Senate just passed the same thing. They're moving in that direction. Other states are as well. And that's what I mean when I say we're going to have to get win America back state by state. And one of the ways that they can do that is to nullify, under the 10th Amendment, mind you, nullify some of the overreach and the tyranny being handed down by the federal government. But, you know, it just appears to me anyway, from the party perspective, Republican Party, no sense of urgency, not a lot of bold moves. Some states are, I just mentioned them, but they're in the state of Wisconsin here, you know, it's going to have to be done by the grassroots. It's going to have to be done at the citizen level, the ground level, if you will, to win this country back. We're going to have to do it within the states.
So in the state of Wisconsin, particularly, are there candidates that you have looked at in the past that you feel like had they stood on their own too, had a backbone, in other words, that they would still be in power, people that would be still holding these offices that are now not because of their lack of, I don't know, testicular fortitude, I guess, for a lack of better words, to stand and be strong?
Yeah, you know, but I have to look at this collectively because in Wisconsin, the GOP controls both the Assembly and the State Senate. Now, there's a Democrat in the State House as governor, but for about 8 years, they controlled all three, or those two branches anyway, the legislative and the executive. You had Scott Walker, who lost in 2016 to a nobody, a guy who was an empty suit. He had no vision. He has no charisma. It never should have happened. Well, I blame that on the Republican Party of Wisconsin and their very blasé get-out-the-vote mechanism. I went back and looked further, and I looked at the last 8 statewide races in the state of Wisconsin, and the Republicans got trounced in 7 of those 8. The only one they didn't get trounced in, it was a woman, Annette Ziegler, who ran for the state Supreme Court re-election anyway, and she didn't have an opponent, so I don't count that one. So in 7 consecutive statewide races, important ones, the Republicans got their rear ends handed to them. So I'm looking forward now to the midterms in November. We have a U.S. Senate seat up, an incumbent Senator Ron Johnson, very good, rock solid conservative, and also the governor's race is up again. I don't know from the GOP side who's going to run against this Democrat, but I'll tell you what, if this record of futility continues, we may very well lose the governor's race again. We may lose the lone GOP U.S. senator that we have in the state of Wisconsin.
You mentioned in the article, you were talking about the pouring in of funds and money from all over the country to bolster the Democratic surge in the state of Wisconsin. That's a real threat to Republicans in your state. And I think around the country, as we see money from these PACs and money from these special interest groups just flooding into, you know, what would typically be a GOP Republican candidate more than likely would take that seat, that they're now being pushed out because of the money that's coming in from all over the place.
Well, you know what? There's no doubt that the Democrats nationally are going to target the U.S. Senate seat here. Ron Johnson, as I said, is up for re-election. They want this seat. They already control the other seat with the uber lefty Tammy Baldwin. And they're going to pour. I think there's going to be a record spending for a U.S. Senate seat here in the state of Wisconsin. The Democrats are hell-bent. They're zoned in, I should say, and they're going to do everything they can. The money's going to flow in. It's going to be very difficult for the Republican Party to hang on to that seat. I question some of the spending that goes on by the Republican Party of Wisconsin, because you have to have a good ground game to win elections. The Democrats focus, spend a lot of their money on a ground game. And I think that the spending going on by the Republican Party of Wisconsin goes to the candidate and doesn't help to get out the vote. The only way to overcome cheating, and there were some irregularities in the November election where Donald Trump lost by about 20,000 votes, a lot of irregularities. But the way you overcome cheating is you get such a huge turnout of your voters that no algorithm that the Democrats use to try to come up with enough votes to win is going to get it done.
Yeah. The argument to that, just playing devil's advocate, is that he was winning by a landslide. That in 2016, when he defeated Hillary Clinton, that this was already set up. And we're just going to go on the assumption that there was algorithms, okay, that these Dominion machines were completely corrupt. Let's just play that position for a second, that the same technology that's used in Venezuela to give the appearance of a democracy, but yet insert a dictator, right? That this is what was being used here in the United States in 2016. It was all set up. That's the one side of it. But that there was such an overwhelming landslide of support for President Donald Trump that he was able to beat those algorithms, whereas now this time they bolstered the effort, the counterintelligence, I guess you will. They built it up even more so that no matter what happened, he couldn't defeat them. And then that's why you saw the stopping in the middle of the night, the 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, all these ballots pouring in, the stopping of counts in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan and all these other states. Then you see Georgia go and then the two Senate seats fall in Georgia, where these are should have been hands down wins for the conservatives. Do you fear that that might be happening and going on again in Wisconsin? And no matter what the GOP does, there's just no way that a Republican can ever win in a fair election again?
Well, let's step back a little bit.
Sure.
You go back to when Trump won the state, first time since 1984, Wisconsin voted for a Republican presidential candidate since 1984. Okay, that's a long time. Now, when you look at the Hillary Clinton run, I don't think they thought they were going to need to put that thing into full force, the algorithms that they use. But here's where the GOP comes into play. Keep in mind that state, under the Constitution, state legislatures control election law. There were a lot of election laws that were not adhered to, that were violated by the Democrat Party during the election, and the Republican legislature here did nothing. They did absolutely nothing. They should have run into court. They should have ordered an audit of the votes in November. See, they did none of that. So there's some things that they're not doing that we can do. Then if we do it effectively, we can overcome the cheating. But short of that, you're right. It's going to be very difficult to win these elections. But the fact that the Constitution says state legislatures make the laws on elections, that's what's important here. The things that were violated are against Wisconsin election law. So that's that lack of a sense of urgency that I see on the part of the Republican Party. And you know what? It happened nationally, too. They should have come in. The campaign did, the Trump campaign, but they didn't have standing. At least that's what the courts ruled. But legislatures have standing. But the Republican-controlled legislature in Wisconsin did nothing.
Yeah, they do have standing, and as proven by what you highlighted going on in Arizona and Arkansas right now. Talking to Sheriff David Clark, Milwaukee County retired. You can find him on Parler at Sheriff Clark. Get his book, Cop Under Fire. Switching gears a little bit, it's no secret that's what's going on here in Minnesota right now in the wake of the death of a 20-year-old, what appeared to be a criminal who had warrants for his arrest. There's pictures of him all over the internet flashing cash, living that fast lifestyle with guns. He ends up in a situation where he gets shot. It's now coming out that there's body cam footage where it appears that the female officer may have made a fatal mistake in grabbing her firearm rather than her taser. Obviously looting, burning, protesting, rioting, all these things going on not only here in Minneapolis, but now we're seeing in Portland where they're actually sealing doors shut of a federal building, lighting this stuff on fire, attempting to burn people alive. It's going to happen all over the country specifically and mostly in democratically controlled cities. What's your reaction to this stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like same crap, different day all over again. But if we sort that out a little bit, and it's early in the investigation, and I want to be respectful of that, but there are some facts and evidence that have emerged that, you know, pictures starting to form here. And let's keep in mind, as you indicated, it was the behavior of the perpetrator that started the series of events that led to his demise. Okay, this, in my estimation, now I said, I don't have all of the facts, I don't have all of the evidence, but I can make some early assumptions because I've investigated these sorts of things, officer-involved use of force. So I have that experience that a lot of people do not have. Now, this guy was resisting arrest. Okay? He was going to be taken into custody. He had a legal obligation to comply with the law enforcement officer's lawful commands. Now, keep in mind, from the officer's perspective, and I've talked to officers after they've used deadly force, okay? These things happen under circumstances that are tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving. once the adrenaline kicks in, and that's a real phenomena, the adrenal glands, you know what? Your cognitive thinking shuts down and all you can do is react. She went for what she thought was the taser. This is very plausible under this situation. As a matter of fact, before she pulled the trigger, she said, taser, taser. That is a code word to law enforcement officers so they don't get struck by the taser. When you hear taser, taser, most of the time they'll move back and let that person who's firing the taser activate it. So, you know, when you look at some of that stuff, horrible mistake, no doubt about it. In Wisconsin, like many states, mistake is a defense to prosecution. As long as in that mistake, it negates the presence of a state of mind, that person gets off from criminal prosecution. The other two elements are coercion and necessity. So those are defenses to prosecution. And I would like to think that that's going to happen here, but who knows in this cop-hating state that we live in. Plus, here's the thing I've been railing about against for a long time, including when I was the sheriff. We're asking too much of officers. There is, if you look at a duty belt, there is so much stuff on that belt. There's not even room for anything else anymore. When you look at the bat, collapsible bat, they got flashlights, they got their firearm, they got their taser, they have their handcuffs, and there's other pieces of equipment. Look, like I said, when the adrenaline kicks in and you're just reacting to circumstances, you might think you're moving toward the taser, but you might not be. This is very plausible.
Yeah. Not to mention the tools that are not on the belt, but are also implied with training. You have verbal judo. You have CIT classes, de-escalation classes, crisis intervention. You have negotiation stuff that you deal with. You know, I mean, all of these things that make officers second guess now. And we had what we called the Ferguson effect, now the Minneapolis effect, where officers are pulling back because of optics. And because who wants to be responsible, Sheriff, for being the officer that is involved even in the most justifiable use of force situations with particularly a black suspect? I mean, let's just call it what it is, in a polarized community, in a polarized society like what we live in right now, responsible for your actions being what causes what we're seeing now with Family Dollars being burned down. The guy who's an immigrant maybe from another country that has come here to the United States to pursue the American dream. He has a corner store or a CBD store. It's burning down. His family's being assaulted. They're being intimidated and pushed out. The citizens of the community are being held in their own alleyways. They can't get to work. They can't get to the store to buy diapers for their kids, milk, bread, or eggs without paying a penance or paying a fee to get out of their alley in the face of intimidation. They're being raped. They're being assaulted. They're being shot at. This stuff is not being widely reported by the mainstream media. So can you react a little bit to the fallout that's happening in these communities, what we're seeing right now with some of this rioting and the burning?
Well, the riot starting, the riot making is untenable. But more and more, these cities are starting to put up with this crap. And so it's going to go on. They're going to continue to push the envelope. Look, this is not an acceptable, a socially acceptable response to anything. Okay, we already have a tragic situation. Tension's high. We all understand that stuff. But why is the automatic default for these riot makers to loot, to break stuff, to start things on fire? Why is that the automatic default? All right, that's not helping one bit. But, you know, the other thing here is that, you know, a lot of the, you look at the people that are committing this stuff, they didn't care about this guy that was shot. You know what? Mr. Wright, the perpetrator that was shot and killed yesterday, he could have been shot and killed in the street in a drug deal or in a gangland type slaying. And these same riot makers wouldn't have given a damn about this guy, but they're exploiting this situation because he was shot by a cop.
Yeah. You know what? You couldn't have said it better. And that's exactly right. By the way, when you're seeing an unprecedented amount of homicides, where you look across the globe or across the map here in the United States specifically, you look at Philadelphia, you look at Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, Atlanta, all of these cities that I'm mentioning right now are off the charts in 2020 as compared to previous years for homicide rates. These are homicides with guns. Black on black crime is absolutely surging. Where is Black Lives Matter then, Sheriff?
Yeah, the non-fatal shootings are up too in those locations that you mentioned, including my city here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And you don't hear a peep from these individuals. with the kind of carnage that goes on in higher numbers than any police officer shooting or use of force against young black males. And then again, you know, they just dismiss the fact that the perpetrators are not complying with police orders. If they just did that, okay, if that guy would be alive today, if when he was told that he had a warrant, was going to jail, turn around, put his hands behind his back, he'd be alive today. We wouldn't even know what his name is. And so, you know, to just sweep that under the rug and dismiss it is part of the cultural dysfunction and the cultural rot that is pervasive in many of these urban ghettos.
So whose shoulders does this fall on? Who's responsible for this carnage and for allowing this to continue, and who should be doing something about it?
Well, the criminals are, but you know what? I believe it's being made worse by the political class. When you have these defund the police movements, which they're actually doing in some of these cities, when you have a political class that won't keep people locked up, in New York City, for example, they got rid of bail. They're not holding anybody on bail. When you enact failed policies like that, it's going to exacerbate the problems that exist right now. So it's a combination of things. It usually is. It isn't one thing. But failed political leadership makes this thing worse.
Sheriff Clark, get his book, Cop Under Fire. Visit him on Parler at Sheriff Clark, americasheriff.com. We always appreciate having you. Thanks a lot for being here.
My pleasure.
Folks, I'm here to tell you about Verve Forever. Now, Verve Forever is my CBD company. I am a customer of Verve Forever for a bunch of reasons. Number one, because they have the highest quality CBD products at the most affordable prices. But even if I had a product that I was using elsewhere that I was satisfied with, when I knew that they weren't a veteran-owned company and that I could do business with veteran-owned Verve Forever, I would immediately jump over, and you should too. If you're using CBD, then you're already up on the game of holistically and naturally dealing with maybe anxiety or stress. Maybe you're dealing with PTSD or ADHD. Maybe you have joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, migraine headaches, allergies. Whatever you use your CBD for, I'm telling you, it will positively impact your life. But you got to check out Verve Forever Products, a veteran-owned company, America First Patriot-owned company. Go over to AmericaFirstOil.com right now. That's AmericaFirstOil.com. Check out Verve Forever Products. I am a customer, a very happy customer. No more shoulder pain in my shoulder. No more arthritic pain. I don't want to call it a cure, but the arthritis pain completely gone. I had restricted mobility no longer. Zero pain thanks to Verve Forever Products. You too can check it out. AmericaFirstOil.com. Go there right now, folks. AmericaFirstOil.com. It shouldn't surprise anybody that Black Lives Matter and Antifa all over the country are starting to burn things down. They're looting for reparations. They are getting their penance now as the new Jordans and Gucci bags and all of these things are slung over the arms. O'Reilly Auto Parts, of course, the Family Dollar being looted and burning down. Black Lives Matter is, again, up to their old antics. And here's some MSNBC footage that was recorded from the Gateway Pundit that was sent over to me here earlier today. Check this out. As the looters get busted by the cameras, the reporter then tries to make an effort to turn the camera around, but things go south really quickly.
A couple of hours, we've seen people walking through the parking lot with carts full of stuff, and you can see people going in and out. But let's focus back there on the police department, because people are going to come in if we're seeing this happening here. So over there, you can see the police, after hours of being patient, I guess you could say, they started firing tear gas. The crowd is now dispersing.
He turned the camera, but here they come. They're not going to let him go.
Still here in the streets. They're still here.
Oh, here she is. All right.
Okay, easy. Come on, easy.
We got some language here, so just...
Tell me what happened.
And the police are now firing on homes that are just across the street that have nothing to do with nothing.
Look at him in the face of the camera. Go the F home. Here to discuss this and give us a truthful perspective, not holding back whatsoever, Deanna Lorraine. Shots fired. You say what?
Wow. So, Stu, you saw it there. Just like, you know, I like how they try to shimmy away from the violence and everything. Because remember, in the MSNBC's eyes and CNN and everyone, they're still praising Black Lives Matter. They're still peaceful protesters. They're still very peaceful, just a little bit fiery, but very peaceful. So anything that goes to the contrary of that, they want to shimmy away and try to hide it. And then they're the ones, their anchors are the ones that get attacked. And they scream, go the F home. They don't want this to be shown on camera. And neither do the MSNBC crew. Their little jig is up. Their little narrative is up. And just like what they did otherwise, they looted the dollar store, right? It's a dollar store. There's nothing over a dollar. They can easily afford this. They're doing this just for show because somehow looting stores, looting cakes, looting Nike stores is somehow going to bring back someone's death, bring back someone's life, is going to celebrate them. I've had friends pass away before, but I've never thought, I'm going to go rob them because that's going to help bring back my friend's life. No, they can easily afford this. It's all for show. But what people can't afford is these businesses are largely Black-owned businesses. These are often in poor communities. And of course, when these businesses get shut down, the repair, all the damage work, that is sometimes priceless, and these businesses are then going to be shut down permanently. Clearly, Black lives don't really matter. Remember, what they also did last night was they looted big time. The BLM mob went in and looted Foot Locker, destroyed Foot Locker. This, after Foot Locker did this huge campaign last year, a $200 million donation to Black Lives Matter. This also reminds me, if you don't remember this, I'll refresh your memory. The CEO of Chick-fil-A last summer got down on his knees, Stu, and groveled to the BLM overlord, washed his feet, and then preached at all of his white customer base saying, hey, you white Christians that are toxic and inherently racism, you need to apologize for your white racism, your subconscious white racism, repent to BLM. That's the only way you guys are going to get through this and get right with God. Remember? And then after that, shortly after that, Chick-fil-A also got looted and rioted as well. So it just goes to show you, Stu, it doesn't pay ever to apologize, to praise, and to grovel to the BLM mob, because just like piranhas, once they get a little taste of blood, once they smell that blood, all they want is more. But it doesn't matter anyways, because they're not out for any kind of equality. They don't want to praise Black people. When you look at the 13 principles of Black Lives Matter, it's all about queerism, transism. It's all about globalism, which is stated they want to install globalism and to destroy the Western nuclear family unit and replace it with some sort of community, commune, villages raising the child type of Marxist community. That's what they're out for, which makes perfect sense because all of this Black Lives Matter, the rioting now all over the USA that's going to happen, which is being praised by many governors, mayors, etc. At the exact same time where schools are still locked down, churches are still locked down, we can't even still see family or friends. I haven't even seen my own family since 2019 Christmas, Stu, because they're following all the guidelines, all the CDC guidelines.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. What kind of medical science is that? What kind of science is that to begin with, to say that Black Lives Matter can, and you are encouraged to go to those protests with thousands of people arm to arm, but we can't even see our own families go back to school or remain any kind of normalcy?
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget the media. They turned their backs.
There is no science behind it. It's all about a Marxist globalist agenda that they want to instill in America right now. And Stu, if we allow another summer like this to take over, to have this Black Lives Matter Marxist mob takeover, we will not have another America to talk about again.
And let's not forget the same media, this guy that's being attacked, this guy that's turning his back, trying to force the camera to turn away, conceal all this behavior. These are the same ones that concealed these Democrat mayors who sent SWAT teams to shut down barbershops, to shut down churches. But yet lets this kind of stuff go on all over the place. Police are being villainized. Police are being criminalized all over the country. We haven't talked about the hundreds of cops that are being shot. We're not talking about these guys. They're being assassinated. They're being targeted just for wearing a badge. By the way, all of these cops, 99.9% of them, will run directly towards gunfire and put themselves in jeopardy, trade their life for years, regardless of your political alignment, the color of your skin, your religious ideologies, or whether or not you have a penis or a vagina or choose to these days. It doesn't matter. Deanna Lorraine giving it to us real and shots fired. We'll see you back tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks so much, Steele.
Folks, Fox, I take my platform very seriously. I do it because I know that you trust me. You trust me to always dig for the truth and bring you the truth. That's why I'm being truthful when I tell you that I trust Carlos Cortez at Cortez Wealth Management. I trust him enough to send you his way with your financial future hanging in the balance. I really do. He cares about you. You're not just a number at Cortez Wealth Management. He's an America First patriot that cares about the future of our republic. He's a husband. He's a father. I've gotten to know Carlos very well. His entire staff almost goes to church with him. He's a praise and worship guy at his church. He plays in the band. He plays for people that need it. He's always volunteering his time. And this is indicative of what kind of a person Carlos Cortez is. And that's the kind of person that you should be doing business with, especially when dealing with your finances. Don't trust these big banks. Don't trust these big conglomerates that are controlled by Wall Street, manipulated by the gangsters that are in our political sphere. They're all Biden, pro-Biden advisors, whether they know it or not, because they're impacted by the plans that are marketed for them to sell that back the CCP and don't put America first. And that's not what you want to do. You want an America First advisor. Home of the America First Retirement Plan, Cortez Wealth Management. Call them today, 813-448-3446. Jot it down, folks, 813-448-3446, or visit them online at CortezWM.com. Cortez Wealth Management, CortezWM.com. We've been talking about the cancel culture almost ad nauseum. It's sick. It makes you sick to your stomach. It makes you actually want to vomit. Some of the people that have been canceled, docs, the way that they have been canceled, Hollywood is running rampant. I mean, there's pedophilia all over the place. The criminals won't investigate the criminals. Of course, Washington, D.C., they all hold inflated bribery on one another. So you watch these shows like on Netflix, Cuties, all these things. It absolutely makes you sick. While this stuff is allowed to happen, it's very similar to Democratic mayors sending SWAT teams in to shut down barbershops and to shut down places of worship, churches. You're not allowed to gather with your family, while at the same time, people like Black Lives Matter and Antifa are allowed carte blanche to do whatever that they want. It's no different in this culture of media. As we watch people like the Fox News Channel become completely politically correct, they ran away from President Donald Trump, CNN, MSNBC. We know what to expect of these people, which is why you're seeing the emergence of new platforms like Patriotically Correct, like Red Voice Media, just making a huge surge on the market. Kevin Jackson is no stranger to any of this, as he is a canceled commentator. You are a victim of the cancel culture, but you're refusing to be victimized. And welcome back to Patriotically Correct. We always appreciate having you. The KevinJacksonNetwork.com really blowing up. And now you want to talk about something new, the Flick Fest, which is absolutely huge in the way of filmmaking.
It is, yeah. And so, look, everything you described, Stu, is spot on. We've got 80 million plus
I get that a lot. A lot of people say that.
We've got 80 million people who voted for President Trump, and they want to know what to do because they know they've been lied to. We got lied to about Russian collusion, Ukraine conspiracies, two impeachments that have obviously didn't occur, but they certainly tried. And then they finally got rid of them with the big cheat.
Yeah.
And so we're just tired of being lied to. You mentioned Black Lives Matter and Antifa, two terrorist organizations that operate with impunity, and you're a Tea Party guy, and they want to put you in prison. You know, I mean, it's insane. So what did we decide to do? Fight back. I say to the 80 million people that are out there, you don't have to go to Hollywood to get entertainment. We started the Flick Fest for that reason, because I made a film in 2018 called Bleeding Blue. It was a truthful telling of policing in America. And what are we facing right now? Officer Derek Chauvin, he's going to get railroaded just because of pop culture.
Do you really think so? I mean, do you think that there's any way that this guy's going to get a fair shake, a fair trial? Or do you think that the nail is already in the coffin for Chauvin?
How could you possibly? First of all, it can't be a fair trial. The idea that with all the video cam that has been seen, the cop cam of that exchange between him and what's the guy's name?
George Floyd, the career criminal, home invading thug. Yeah,
it's insane. They tried to get this guy to just surrender because he was passing a fake bill, and the cops had to intervene. They were forced to intervene. There was no malice. There was certainly no racism involved. And now Chauvin's career is over, no matter what. But guess what? We lose either way. We lose if they convict him, because they will have convicted an innocent guy, and we lose if they don't convict him, because they're going to burn down the nation and they're going to make it sound as if there's no justice, no peace.
I think they're going to burn down the nation regardless, even if he does get convicted, because if he gets convicted on anything other than first degree murder, which, you know, that's out the window, first degree premeditated intentional homicide, if they don't send this guy to the electric chair or give him a lethal injection or hang him in the public square right in front of everybody for them to spit upon, I think that everything is going to burn. So I think we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't.
That's my point. There's no way to win. And we keep finding ourselves in these no-win situations. And when you go back to the core and you ask yourself, how do we get here? We get here because we're being taught ignorance. They teach it in schools, and then we live it. We watch it. Hollywood is bombarding us with it. There's a thing out right now called well-health building or something. You get an approval for your building to be well-health.
That's right.
In the time of COVID.
Yeah, we saw Jennifer Lopez and Lady Gaga, you know, the medical experts out here telling us. They're basically
giving
ultimatum to business owners. If you don't put this thing on your window, you're going to lose all this business. They're canceling businesses that are refusing to bow down to this Marxist Islamic culture of covering your face, making you subservient to the state.
You're exactly right. So you've got this new layer of bureaucracy that's rife with political correctness and wokeism is what I call it. And it's a ruse. It's a total ruse. So Hollywood's participating in this, and they think that these people can influence you. I mean, when The Rock came out and said he's voting for Biden, I think I knew at that point how big is the influence of China in our politics. The Rock is, where his movies are moderately successful here, they are hugely successful in China. And so are many of these other actors. So when you put it all together, Stu, you just ask yourself, how do we lose? We lose because we don't take our money and we don't vote with our dollars. So we're still, many people are still on Netflix knowing that Susan Rice, Barack Obama, all these people are there. And what are they going to espouse? They're going to espouse leftism. Now, look. My site, The Flick Fest, isn't meant to be political. It's meant to be something that people can enjoy. Amazing films, I promise you. If you go check it out, you will be unbelievably excited about it. We feature mostly shorts under 40 minutes because we feel like a lot of people don't have time to watch 2 hours of films. But we do have long-form films on there. But the real key is, as a filmmaker, I was told, I don't want to show your film because I don't like the content. Hollywood distributors would not pick it up because they did not like the content. So you had a cabal. Well, what do we do as conservatives? If you don't like the content, the Hollywood can put the kibosh on you. That's true whether you're a music artist. It's true whether you're a pundit and you make a tweet like I did that got me fired from Fox. They want to dox you. They want to silence your voices. And the way 80 million people can change that is you jump off of Facebook, Twitter, Hollywood, whatever, and you come to other media. That's why shows like yours are successful. That's why OAN, Newsmax, America's Voice, and regular network news is now taking over for Fox. That's why PolitiChatter and many other social media sites are taking over. You mentioned Red Voice Media. Look, congratulations, guys. Now, what do? Let's get millions more to watch Stu Peters and watch other people like that. Come to the Flick Fest. Spend your time, money, and energy in things where conservatives are going to give you the truth. Stu, let me ask you this.
We have been just so overloaded with, and hold that question because I want you to ask it. We have been so overloaded, Kevin, with lies, deception, intentional propaganda spreading. People, it's no secret to people anymore, and they will be right out in front of you completely fabricating a story. I mean, well, just the first one that comes to mind, the New York Times on a story about how a police officer was bludgeoned to death by fire extinguisher wielding Trump supporters at the Capitol on the 6th of January. Never happened. It never happened. It was a complete lie, and the New York Times, what did they do? They just moved on. They didn't feel the need to correct the story. They didn't feel the need to publicly correct the record, to apologize for the misstatement. And we're talking about the life of a police officer that tragically did end on the 6th. But as a result of fire extinguisher wielding, Trump supporting, bootlicking racists? Absolutely not.
Right. Well, I would ask you this. If you knew that Donald Trump lied, would you cover for him when he was president?
Well, no, of course not. I wouldn't cover for any liar.
See, that's the difference between us and them. I'm not going to cover a lie because it's part of a cabal.
If I agree with you 90% of the time, Kevin, and you come on this program and I know you to be lying, I'm going to call you out. Anybody that's a liar deserves to be called down on the carpet.
But see, that's what we do. As conservatives, we fact check one another and go, I don't know that I believe that. Or you are you sure about that? The left don't. They get their talking points and it's done. They don't care. They knew Donald Trump had nothing to do with the Russians. You have Barack Obama, Joe Biden on tape talking about extortion of Ukraine. And who gets in trouble? Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so patently ridiculous. And so here's the point. Everybody listening to your show, the millions of people that see us weekly and that do what we do, they get it. And they're saying, you know what? What I want from Kevin, what I want from Stu and others like us is tell me the truth, man. I can handle it. You know, if your baby's ugly, I'm going to tell you your baby's ugly.
I love it. Yeah. Are you a Seinfeld fan? It took me back. You got to see the baby. You got to remember that one, intern boy? That is the ugliest baby I've ever seen in my... You remember Kramer freaking out? But you know what? You're right. And I hear that all the time, Kevin, is the reason... I don't even get my news from Fox anymore or CNN. Stu, I get it from you. We tune into you. I go over to the new report, Red Voice Media. You know, people like the KevinJacksonNetwork.com. I mean, this is... I don't always agree with everything that Dan Bongino says, but I have a whole newfound respect for him last night after he tore into Geraldo on Fox News Channel on Hannity. Boy, was that great, because Geraldo's a big puke, and I've always known that. That's my opinion. You don't have to agree with me
I agree.
Okay, well, then there
you
go.
I spent a lot of time with Geraldo at Fox, and I can tell you,
and Juan Williams, I mean, I got some stories about that guy, too, but, you know, and this goes all the way back with Fox, where they feel that they have to have this token liberal, radical, weird guy that, you know, you don't need to do that. If you just bring people the truth, they will come to you, they will gravitate to you. You don't even have to be a professional.
Well, you said it earlier, Stu. Look, we can disagree, and it doesn't put a label on us.
That's right.
If I disagree with Juan Williams, I'm not going to say, well, that's a liberal point of view and I'm the conservative point of view. We just happen to disagree. And I think we do need a little salt with the sugar, because that's what makes people have an understanding. But here's what I will tell you. You and I don't agree on everything. But we are smart enough to know how to parse the disagreement and have an understanding and see who makes the sale. I tell the people all the time, a sale is made in every exchange. The question is, do you allow the sale to be made to you, or do you make the sale? So when I overheard some kids talking about their support of Hillary Clinton in the airport, I intervened and said, why would you vote for this knucklehead that has done nothing except ride the coattails of a man that she probably should have divorced? And who happens to be a misandrist that hates men? Why would you support somebody like that? In other words, I'm not going to let you have a conversation that I differ with without me putting something into it.
That's right.
And I think if more conservatives take that tack, we'll be better off. But what we do is we shut our mouths and we feel like, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose my job if somebody thinks of me in this particular way. You're better than that. You find what you do that you're passionate about. When I lost my job at Fox, people thought I was destroyed. I'm like, are you kidding? That was a side gig. I'm great at what I do. I can say whatever I want. I will never lose my job or my income. You want to know why? Because I'm great at what I do.
Well, and I think you're better off after leaving or being fired, I guess you'd say. I mean, you know, they say a door closes, several open. And I think that's obviously happened with you. What a blessing in disguise. The Flick Fest, where can we find all of these great feature films? Is it theflickfest.com?
Theflickfest.com. And I will tell you, guys, go on there. There's trending films that people, you know, vote up. Watch any of them.
Yeah.
If you're not satisfied, it is the best thing. And by the way, we're doing our app for your phone and for big TVs. But if you don't think it's the best thing that's happened in terms of new entertainment, and what we're going to be doing is we start to green light weekly series. We're doing a cop series called Off the Cuff. We're producing a late night TV talk show called America Tonight that our host is Brad Stein. He's called God's Comic, one of the funniest guys on the planet. And he's going to make Jimmy Kimmel and those guys look like buffoons because that's what they are.
Oh, they're doing a good enough job of that on their own. They make themselves look like buffoons every time the camera turns on.
We're going to bring enjoyment back to entertainment, and that's what the Flick Fest does. Theflickfest.com.
Theflickfest.com, and if you can't remember that, it's right there on the screen, thekevinjacksonnetwork.com. You can navigate your way there through that site as well. Plus, you'll find yourself a whole lot of real honest commentary and good takes, slapping the nonsense out of narratives at thekevinjacksonnetwork.com. Kevin Jackson, always a pleasure having you. Thanks a lot for being here.
You too. Thanks, Stu. Thanks for having me on.
Folks, I'm here to talk to you more about CBD. I love CBD. I use CBD. I'm a customer of Verve Forever CBD products. Never did I know anything about CBD before my introduction to Tim Klund. He's an America First patriot and a veteran of the United States Air Force. He's the founder, CEO, and owner of Verve Forever products. All of the Verve Forever stuff sourced right here in the United States of America, Colorado. That's where his farm is. He goes there frequently. I chat with him online. I see the farm. It's a beautiful place, a facility where all of the products from Verve Forever are right here in the United States. So it's an America-owned company by a veteran of the United States Air Force. Tim Klund promises the highest quality products at the most affordable prices. I don't know. I haven't used any other CBD, so I can't compare it. I just know that it helps my stress and anxiety, and it also helps my shoulder pain. I don't have any more shoulder pain from the arthritis due to this Verve Forever product. I'm a believer, folks. I don't want to call it a cure for arthritis, but I don't know what else to call it. My wife uses it for migraine headaches. It helps her tremendously. I have friends that use it for ADHD for their kids. I have friends that have allergies that no longer have the effects of pollen and things like that because they use the CBD products from Verve Forever. Go check them out right now, folks. That is AmericaFirstOil.com for Verve Forever products. AmericaFirstOil.com, whether it's joint pain, ligament pain, muscle pain, or if you're dealing with some mental instability, maybe. I mean, I'm not calling you crazy, but everybody's got stress and anxiety, and Verve Forever CBD products can help you with that. Go to AmericaFirstOil.com right now, folks. That's AmericaFirstOil.com. No matter where you are, no matter what state you're in, no matter what country you're in around the world, you know that there's a lot going on. Police officers shooting black people. It seems like they're hunting them down at nauseam. These racist cops all over the place just killing black people. I mean, we're stepping over black people in the streets like cordwood stacked up. The bodies all over the place. Bodies hitting the floor almost as quickly as they are from the pandemic, from the very dangerous coronavirus that is plaguing the nation. It's a good thing that we have all of these masks. We're supposed to wear 300 or 400 or 500 of them now, according to Dr. Anthony Fauci, the federal government's top paid employee. Your top paid employee is you are the boss here in this country. Supposedly, that's the way that it's supposed to work. To bring us some perspective and some reality, as he always does, senior reporter with National File, Patrick Hawley, joins us for the Daily Intel Brief. Good afternoon, Patrick. How are you?
Good, Stu. Well, now we've learned that it was a female police officer who reportedly accidentally discharged her gun. She was trying to fire a taser. Instead, she fired a gun and she killed the 20-year-old young man. Now, the young man was fleeing in a vehicle. However, the fact that this female cop accidentally discharged her weapon, you know, to me, it indicates that instead of blaming all white people in society for the actions of this cop, we should look very seriously at female police officers, about their conduct, about their ability to do the job, because we see a lot of female police officers anywhere you go now. There are a lot of these Karen cops wearing the masks, going around badgering people for not wearing masks, getting their Karen energy out through being police officers. And we should have a real conversation about whether or not females are able to do the job of being a police officer.
Yeah, the conversation has to exist in whether or not anybody should be a police officer. I mean, I think that we should go back to the times of, if you're qualified, there should be a certain warrior element to your psyche. You should be an alpha type personality and somebody who's not scared of blood, gore, violence, or confrontation. I mean, you see a lot of people that are taking positions in a lot of professions just based on their sex, their identity, their political alignment, the color of their skin, and their gender. At this point, you know, I mean, I think that only qualified people, specifically in the field of law enforcement, should be there.
And how can you expect a qualified male officer who's putting his life on the line to go into a dangerous situation with a female officer who is incapable of, you know, adhering to the normal guidelines of how to fire a weapon or how to not fire a weapon.
Or just anybody who's there for the wrong reasons. I mean, look at you, this guy got hired because he's a tranny, right? So now I'm supposed to go up this flight of stairs, down this fatal funnel in this hallway where I know there's a bad guy hiding with a gun who just crashed into like 300 people or something. I mean, some heinous crime, some rapist, something, somebody that's not going to go to prison. They're going to fight by any means necessary, right, Patrick? I mean, you know, that a lot of these people are very desperate. I did it for 18 years. I hunted some of the people, the most violent people in the world, well, at least in the country here, that didn't want to go to prison. They would have done anything to escape that. And to the idea that somebody that would be next to me, I'm putting my life in their hands and they're ill prepared. Prepared or otherwise scared. I'm not going for that.
Well, you know, Jen Psaki, meanwhile, the White House press secretary, has confirmed that the Biden administration, the Biden regime, as we call it, is targeting unvaccinated white Americans because they feel that apparently the rural white people who they look down upon don't want to get vaccinated for obvious reasons. And so they are putting ads on NASCAR races and country music TV. That's how they're going to try to reach the great unwashed of white people who they look down upon, who don't want to take this mystery jab, this experimental mRNA vaccine. So they're going to advertise on NASCAR and they're going to advertise on country music TV. Oh,
signaling their virtue once again. I mean, this
signaling
is
their virtue.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, we want to advertise to black people. So let's put everything on the back of a DMX album, right? Especially now in the wake of his death here. It's just, if that were to be done by somebody like you or I want to advertise on a specific platform to appeal to a certain type of people. I mean, this is the epitome of racism, is it not? NASCAR now associated with rednecks, right? The Confederate flag all over. That's what I'm picturing here as I'm seeing. Why don't they just put big banners up in trailer courts? You know, I mean, this is equally as insulting. This is unbelievable. These are the people that scream about racism, stereotyping, and prejudice. They're the most racist and prejudiced, stereotypical people. They're living up to the stereotype that they claim to be against.
They are the real racists. And meanwhile, Joe Biden has signed an executive order that is launching a commission to study the possibility that they might pack the Supreme Court, expand the Supreme Court for more justices.
Yeah, so what does this mean? I wanted to stop you there because you're a very educated, smart young man. What does this mean? So this commission, he told us way back when that this would be the biggest boneheaded move ever. Remember Joe Biden when he was asked about packing the Supreme Court? This would be the big boneheaded move. He also told us that he wouldn't run the country by executive order because that's what only dictators do. We see an unprecedented record smashing number of executive actions being signed by this regime. But the packing the court, this commission, what all are they looking at? Is it specifically just adding justices to the high court?
Yeah, and they're going to pack the Supreme Court. You're going to have potentially 18 to 20 different Karens on that Supreme Court. That's what I predict that this commission is going to find. They are going to try to appoint as many Supreme Court justices as humanly possible.
Have you heard anything about Barack Obama being considered for the Supreme Court as a justice?
I have heard about it, and I don't know if he would want to do it. I think that he's probably busy, you know, being a celebrity, and the Supreme Court, I think, probably would be a little too boring for him. But I have heard that the possibility that he's being considered.
Yeah. The high court, if you don't have the courts, you have nothing. And they're talking about is additional statehood being considered also in this commission?
The Democrats are very interested in making a state out of Washington, D.C., and also Puerto Rico and possibly other U.S. territories.
Yeah, territories that are strongholds for Democrats. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
So we would be adding an unprecedented number of congressional people and senators, right?
That is accurate. And so, you know, you're going to see really a constitutional crisis as these Democrats continue to govern. Now, there is some good news. Nikki Haley has said now that she is not going to run for president in 2024 if President Donald Trump runs. So, you know, we were looking forward to a situation where Trump could defeat her in the primary. Obviously, Nikki Haley is a conspirator. She's against the America First movement. She's a neocon. But it looks like due to public pressure for her anti-Trump statements, she is not going to run because she doesn't see a path to victory in 24. Meanwhile, you have President Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago calling Mitch McConnell a dumb son of a bee. And I couldn't agree more. No lies detected.
He is a dumb son of a bitch. Fact check that. And as far as Nikki Haley is concerned, she's got as good a shot as winning as John Bozeman down in Arkansas. I mean, this is a guy who still has a tweet and a Facebook post up blaming President Trump for the insurrection. Despite that, Jared Kushner told Trump that he thinks it'd be a good idea to endorse this guy, even though Jan Morgan, a true America First patriot, by the way, the national spokesperson, Citizens for Trump, one of the biggest Trump supporters in the world, is running right there. And you got to believe that it's just because President Trump has no idea that Jan Morgan had launched her campaign before that endorsement. So hopefully he'll retract that endorsement and go with a real America First patriot. Patrick Hawley, from more from him at nationalfile.com. See you tomorrow. Before we go today, a new segment called My Favorite Media Moment. I'm going to bring you my favorite media moment. It was from last night on the Fox News Channel, and boy, is it a doozy. I want to remind you to visit our good friends at Cortez Wealth Management at CortezWM.com or call them in the office at 813-448-3446, home of your America First Retirement Plan. Again, Cortez Wealth Management at CortezWM.com, and now my favorite media moment.
I get policing. Some of my best friends are cops, but you must admit that there is a gulf between
Geraldo.
A white family reacts and how a black family reacts.
You know, Geraldo's perfectly entitled to an opinion. You know, just because you weren't a police officer doesn't mean you can't comment on policing issues. I always hate when liberals say that about us. But, you know, whatever, going to dinner with a police CO captain doesn't... I'm not suggesting you are. I'm just saying that... You know, you
don't start minimizing my experience.
Geraldo, can you shut up for 2 seconds?
I'm a half a century.
Listen, Geraldo,
well,
I'm not interested.
When
can you just be quiet
for a second?
You try
to undermine the foundation of my experience.
Geraldo,
I'm an expert witness tonight. Just
keep talking.
Let him talk, then we'll let you guys go back and forth.
I'm tired of this guy. He never shuts up.
Dan.
He's always got something to say.
Go back to your statement.
You don't know anything about actual policing if you haven't done it. You have no idea that there's a racial undertone to this at all. And you're saying, oh, black parents have to worry because they're black kids. You have no data to back that up at all.
20-year-old black kids.
You're just further inflaming the situation, and the country will burn to the ground because of people like you who say dumb things like that with no evidence to back it up.
Boy, I'm not a torch carrier for everything Dan Bongino, but he sure got some points with me last night for that one. Way to go. Until tomorrow at 6 p.m., here's what's up to it, here's what's down to it, here's to any way that you can get to it, here's to those that don't do it, may they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it, and of course, here's to us who do do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid that radar. One day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!